भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 19 वर्स 9 Petal King Yayati achieves liberation. So verse 9 has no purport. So I'll read the English translation and then we'll read verse 10 together. Being very sorry, the he-goat who was subservient to his wife followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. Text 10. Tasya tatra duja kaschid aja swami achinad rusha लंभन्तम् वृषणम् भूयः संदधे अर्थाय योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अच्छिनादृशा लंभन्तम् वृषणम् भूय संदधे अर्थया योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अच्छिना दृशा लंबन्तं वृषणं भूय संदधे अर्थया योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अच्छिना दृशा लंबन्तं वृषणं भूय संदन्दे अर्थाय योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अच्छिना दृशा मृतं वृषणं भूय संदन्दे अर्थाय योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अचिना दृशा लंबन्तं वृषणं भूय संदन्दे अर्थाय योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अच्छिना दृशा लंबन्तं वृषणं भूय संदन्दे अर्थाय योगवित् तस्य तत्र दुजा कश्चित् अजा स्वामी अच्छिना दृशा लंबन्तं वृषणं भूय
Sandande Arthaya Yogavit Tasya Tatra Dujakaschid Jaswami Achinadrasha Lambantam Brishanam Bhuya Sandade Arthaya Yogavit Tasya Yatra Dujakaschid Ajaswamya Chinadrusha Mantam Rushanam Bhuya Sandade Arthaya Yogavit.
What word meanings? Tasya of the he goat. Tatra thereupon. Dvija Brahmana. Kaschit Sam. Ajaswami, the maintainer of the another she goat. Achinat, castrated, made effeminate. Rusha, out of anger. Lambantam, long. Vrishanam, testicles. Bhuya, again. Sandadhe, joint. Arthaya, for self-interest. Yogavit, expert in the power of mystic yoga. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The she-goat went to the residence of a Brahmana who was the maintainer of another she-goat, and that Brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles. But at the he-goat's request, the Brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. Here Shukracharya is figuratively described as the husband of another she-goat. This indicates that the relationship between husband and wife in any society, whether higher or lower than human society, is nothing but the same relationship between he-goat and she-goat. For the material relationship between man and woman is one of sex. Yan maithunadi grihamedhi sukham hitucham. Shukracharya was an acharya or expert in family affairs, which involved the transfer of semen from he-goat to she-goat. The words kaschid ajaswami expressly indicate herein that Shukracharya was no better than Yayati, for both of them were interested in family affairs generated by Shukra or semen. Shukracharya first cursed Yayati to become old so that he could no longer indulge in sex. But when Shukracharya saw that Yayati's emasculation would make his own daughter a victim of punishment, he used his mystic power to restore Yayati's masculinity. Because he used his power of mystic yoga for family affairs and not to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this exercise in the magic of yoga was no better than the affairs of he-goats and she-goats. Yogic power should properly be used to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord Himself recommends in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 47. Yoginam api sarvesham madhagatinantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samyuktatamamatah. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo om vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine. Namaste sarasati devi gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. First, I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas assembled here so that we can speak something, discuss something on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam in the Canto 9, I think for the last few weeks or few actually almost like month, more than a month, we've been reading about King Ayati's life story. So just to take a brief recap of King Ayati's life, we know that Maharaj Ayati had a great birth. He was born in the Chandra Vamsha and the dynasty of the moon god. And he was the son of King Nahusha, who was himself celebrated, you know, warrior. He helped the demigods in the kingdom of heaven to fight. And hence, King Nahusha's lineage was, his son was Ayati. And we see how the story goes, how on parallel we have the story of King Vrishaparva, who was the king of the demons, and his daughter Sarmishtha. Then we have Shukracharya, the guru of Vrishaparva, and then his daughter Devyani. How these two girls in the teenage, sometimes typically girls in the teenage, they play and they fight. So we have this story here that they have an incident where they are going to, you know, in the garden taking bath, and then in a hurry, Sarmishtha puts on the clothes of Devyani, and there is a quarrel between them, and how Sarmishtha pushes Devyani into a well. Now obviously out of anger she did that, because you put anyone into a well, it's a dangerous situation. But here you find that Sarmishtha pushes Devyani, and then how King Ayati finds Devyani in the well, and he rescues her, and then they get married. And now here Sukadeva Goswami is narrating that Parikshit Maharaj asks, how can a Kshatriya marry a Brahmani, who is Devyani is a Brahmani? It's called a Pratiloma marriage. And then, so it is interesting to see that how Parikshit Maharaj, even though this is like towards the ninth canto, he has 7 days in his life, but still, you know, he is interested to know, because in the earlier times, marriage was considered very important in terms of how to get married, so that marriage is sustainable. And in this case, he says, how can a marriage of Pratiloma happen? And then it is explained that Devyani had a curse that she can never marry a Brahmana. So then Maharaj Ayati agrees, even though it was, and he was also attracted to her. And the marriage is in the condition that Shukracharya says that you will never have relationship with Sarmishtha. But by the nature of providence, we see how Devyani has a condition that out of her anger, that Sarmishtha should become her maidservant. Not only Sarmishtha, but all other servants will become her maidservants. So that was not a good idea, because we find that Sarmishtha comes to the home of King Ayati, and naturally Rajaguna attracts Rajaguna. So King Ayati is a Kshatriya and Sarmishtha is a Kshatriya, so they are attracted, and hence we find that Sarmishtha has children from King Ayati. And how, when Devyani knows about this, like a typical woman, she is not happy with it. She goes back angrily to her father's home. Then Shukracharya says that, I had already warned you, you still didn't hit to my notice. So Shukracharya is also angry, and in anger, he curses Ayati to become, you know, invalid. And then of course when Ayati is sorry, he realizes that, oh, by mistake I actually harmed my own daughter, because my daughter is still young, and she still needs sense gratification. So then he at least finds a loophole, that he says, okay, let us, you can exchange this with somebody else. And then we see how King Ayati approaches all his sons. And finally, Puru agrees to exchange his youth against the old age of Ayati. And how Ayati then lives life, enjoys sense gratification, and has a family life for thousands of years. And then finally, we find at this point, we are come to this chapter, where Ayati is frustrated because of his experiences, and he devised a story of a he-goat and a she-goat to explain to his own wife. Now it is interesting to note that King Ayati actually condemns himself, even though he had a life full of sense gratification, which is sanctioned in the scriptures, he did as per the regulative principles. Now, in terms of when we see this story, now one may question, why does this appear in the Bhagavatam? If you look at the story, this looks full of romance, full of revenge, full of, you know, action and drama. This could be made into a nice movie into Hollywood or Bollywood. But the value of this being in Bhagavatam, in the ninth canto, is that it is a great lesson. Typically in the stories in the movies, we see that they live happily ever after and it ends there. Whereas here, we find that the story starts now. Now the story of Srimad Bhagavatam really starts, where we understand how there is a repentance and Maharajat is condemning himself, and what comes out of that we will see in the next verses. So significantly, we must understand that King Yayati, even though such a great lineage, in fact his sons Yadu and Puru, Yadu will find that in his lineage Lord Krishna will be born, and Puru will be the ancestor of the Pandavas. So it's a great family lineage. But still Maharaj Yayati, he compares himself to a he-goat. Now a goat is not a great animal. If you look at among all animals, a goat is going to be very foolish. Because a goat eats anything, and Prabhupada used this example of goat, that in the slaughterhouse also, goat is thinking of sense gratification. So, and Maharaj Yayati knew that probably this will come in Bhagavatam for all eternity to come, and we'll be reading this. But still, you can see how he's condemning himself for the benefit of conditioned souls, so that we can take lessons from his own example, that even though he lived life, he experienced sense gratification to satisfy his lusty desires, which was completely sanctioned as per the scriptures. Now, if one compares, when we speak of lust, we think of Ravana. Now, Ravana, if you see, was a symbol of lust, but he was sinfully engaging in lustful activities. And hence, his outcome was he had to meet with death and destruction, not only for himself, but for his entire dynasty, and the entire kingdom. On the other hand, we see here the story of Maharaj Yayati, who is also explaining or experiencing feelings of lust. But he is following the rules and regulations while engaging in sense gratification activities. So when Sarmishta approaches him, it is completely actually in line with the scriptural regulations that a kshatriya must satisfy a woman, a qualified, a deserving woman, who approaches him. In fact, when we hear about Arjuna returning from Dwarka, Maharaj Yudhishthira asks him, he was despondent. So Maharaj Yudhishthira asks him, why are you so despondent? He states many reasons, possible reasons, and one reason he states that, did you not satisfy a deserving woman who approached you? So which means, in the ancient time, Vedic tradition, Kshatriyas were obligated, as part of religious principles, to satisfy the demand of a deserving woman. So here Maharajati does that, Yayati does that. But of course, that part was good, but we find that there is a little complication in his family affair. His wife is not happy, and then he has to go through so much of ordeal. But regardless of that, if you see he's a king, and after all this is over, after he gets his youth again back, we see how he enjoys sense gratification without any obstruction for many, many years. So if you compare our lives in this Kali Yuga, for sense gratification there's a lot of ordeal, getting married, getting an income, paying the bills, and then still taking care of all the relationships. Typically find that, husband, wife, their own egos, dealing with that, then dealing with family affairs, dealing with children, raising them. There is a lot of hard work in maintaining family life as per regulative principles in Kali Yuga. And still we find that people do not get frustrated, or even if they do, they find other means. And here we find in contrast, Maharaj Yayati, he was a king, so he had all the facilities for sense gratification. He enjoyed that without all these challenges that we face in current life. But still we find that after so many years, he is realizing that he wasted his time. So it's a great lesson for sadhakas to learn from Maharaj Yayati's life, that what we should not do, how we should not waste our life. He had so many years, thousands of years, but we don't have so many years. We have few, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, that's average lifespan. And in that, if we spend this time, then we will not have also enough time to come back or to cry over time which is wasted. Now, if you see the topic of lust, it is not that lust was discovered in the 20th century. Lust is an age-old phenomena, starting from eternity. It is always there, and it has the whole world in its grip. But as sadhakas, as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, the lessons that we can learn from this life, Maharaja's life, or the story, is how we can counter this enemy of lust without wasting too much time in satisfying our senses. So that is one key lesson that we learn from Maharaj Yayati's life. And for us, Srila Prabhupada has given this formula of hearing, chanting and service. In fact, sometimes people confuse between lust and love. In this world, in Kali Yuga, most of these negative adjectives are actually given very nice and bombastic names. For example, lust is termed as love, or crass greed is labeled as ambition. So you find in the corporate career, people are running for being CEOs or being running high in life. It's actually greed, but then it sells as the label of ambition, so that nobody questions them. It is encouraged. And similarly, freedom, rebellion against God, is termed as freedom. So in Kali Yuga, we find that a lot of these propensities, which are actually condemned in the Bhagavatam, which are against our spiritual life, are actually glorified in Kali Yuga, so that people get encouraged to pursue those. And that is the vicious cycle of Kali. So we find here, specifically, we were in college in India doing some preaching, and then actually one teenage boy comes up and he asks that, Prabhuji, I have a girlfriend, is it lust or love? So in this topic, so typically people think an expression of romantic love or that feeling is a love, that's the term used in this world, and hence people who need guidance, at least they come and ask after hearing Bhagavatam, that is it really lust or love? And we know how in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains this concept of lust and love. He says that Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kama Krishnendriya Priti Ichha Dhare Prema Nama. So prema or love is anything we do for satisfying Krishna's senses. And lust is anything we do to satisfy our own senses. If you look at your Maharaj Yayati's life, his whole life of romance, that could be considered as Atmendriya Pritivansha or lust. But later on, when he realizes, he actually sharing the story with his own wife. And if you see, the outcome is both he and his wife actually gain the ultimate success of life. So that is love. Because he is doing this with his wife out of compassion, out of love. So that is called as real love. So if you see, his initial life was maybe lust, and now actually he's engaging in love, because now he's helping his wife realize the goal of life, his wife. So this we find that the same relationship between husband and wife, or man and woman, can be exchanged in terms of either lust or in terms of love. Now, as a sadhaka or as practitioners, how do we really combat this enemy of lust? Again, we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tada rajas tamo bhavo, kama lobha dayashchaye, chitta eter anavidhyam, sattam sukhe prasidati. So the Bhagavatam explains that rajas and tamas, those are in the heart, and it is because of the association of rajas and tamogun, passion and ignorance, that we experience lusty desires, or sense gratification, desires for sense gratification. However, by engaging in Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting and intense service, it is easily possible to get rid of this anartha from the chitta. So this rajas and tamas, which lead to kama and lobha, can be easily overcome. And what we'll get? Sattvam prasidati. So in sattaguna, our situation will be, our chitta will be situated, and this way we find that Bhagavatam has answers to everything, especially how to advance in spiritual life is clearly given in Bhagavatam. What it needs is an intense and yet loving community where we can come together and hear, chant, as well as engage in service. Srila Prabhupada often gave a lot of practical examples. For example, one day, one devotee came to Prabhupada and he said that, Srila Prabhupada, I am being attacked by lust. What should I do? Prabhupada said, you just come attend all the morning programs. Then Krishna will kick Mr. Lust away. Not only Mr. Lust, but his father and his grandfather also away from your heart. So you'll not have any problems. So morning programs are much valuable, especially if you can manage to attend morning programs, we find that it is a big impetus in our spiritual lives. Then one more occasion, Srila Prabhupada, he had one more devotee. And this devotee actually used to go out in the night to meet his girlfriend. And the Prabhupada came to know. And then he asked him, what's going on? And basically Prabhupada asked him, are you following all the four regular principles? He said, Prabhupada, I have difficulty with one of them. He said, which one? No meat eating. I cannot follow that. So Prabhupada knew that he was lying. And then he realized that he didn't tell the truth. So he felt repentance. He went back to Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada, actually, I have this affair going on and I am unable to overcome. What should I do? Then Prabhupada explained to him that you should avoid rich foods and follow certain basic practical means to overcome these desires. And then he asked, Prabhupada, how about I get married? Then Prabhupada actually answered very nicely. He said that marriage is not the solution for lust. Because even if you get married, still if you are not strong in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't really help sustain your spiritual life. So whether we are in any ashram, we find that lust is a formidable enemy. In fact, the Bhagavad Gita states, Prak Sharira Vibhokshanat, that this stays till the last breath of our life. So which means something which is important to consider. And then we find here, there is one more Prabhupada's episode where Prabhupada gave a class and there were a lot of people there, and one of them was a yoga practitioner. So he heard the class, he liked it very much, and then at the end he says, Swamiji, I enjoyed your class, I liked everything, but sometimes I do get disturbed by lust. What should I do? Then Srila Prabhupada answered, sometimes only? And then he said, you, what to speak of you? Even the birds, the insects, and even the demigods, they are also attacked by lust. And we also heard in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Canto 9, in the previous chapters, how the demigod like Soma, he kidnaps his guru's wife, Brihaspati's wife, and there's a huge complicated story after that. So we find that even demigods, we hear about in Srimad Bhagavatam, so all species of life have this phenomena, and it is actually a part of Krishna's energy, and that's why we find that it is so commonly prevalent in the entire society, whether it is humans or animals. Srila Kapila Dev explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a very nice verse, about meditating on Krishna's laughter or smile and Krishna's eyebrows. Hasam harer avanata khila loka tivra shoka shrusagara vishoshanam atiyudaram. So Kapila Dev says that Krishna's smile or hasam of hari is so powerful that, or so enchanting, that it can drive away all the grief, all the shokashu sagara, the ocean of grief that we have in life. Now, we all understand that material life is full of two main things. One is hankering and second is lamentation. So lamentation for, that is shoka. So the shokashru sagara, by meditating Krishna's smile, we can actually get over our own sagara of shoka. And further it is stated, Sanmohanaya रचितम निजमायस्य भ्रूमंडलम मुनिकृते मकरध्वजस्य. दैट कृष्णस आईब्रोज आर सो अट्रैक्टिव दैट अ साधका व्हेन ही और शी मेडिटेट्स अपॉन कृष्णस आईब्रोज देन द लस्ट इन द हार्ट और क्यूपिड इज ऑटोमेटिकली कॉन्कर्ड. सो मकरध्वज इज क्यूपिड एंड by praying to Krishna and meditating on his eyebrows, we find that we can combat this enemy of lust within our heart. So Bhagavatam has, sometimes people say, okay, when we say about hearing and chanting, what exactly should we hear and chant? And sometimes we hear it the same thing again and again, and it may become like, okay, I'm not getting more taste. But we find that the same examples or the same deity from the Lord, every time we can experience new and new rasa, or new and new learnings from the same literature, from the same instructions, if our heart is submissive, and we are not looking for the new things, but we are sincerely wanting to change our lives. I used to have a friend who used to come with me for classes in college preaching, and then he'd say, "Oh, we have the same examples. Example of tree being humbler than being more tolerant than a tree, humbler than a grass. Why don't we get some new examples?" Then the answer was given to him was that it is important to actually understand those examples and try to aspire to be like them rather than looking for new examples. That's again we find in the material education. We all look for new things. How can I get something new? Something new. However, in spiritual life, understand that even if you pick up one instruction and carry it very seriously, it can change our lives. There is no need of doing like 10,000 instructions. Even if you take one instruction very seriously, our whole life can actually change and we can take shelter of Krishna. So this way, we find that in this purport, Prabhupada focuses on this relation between men and women. And towards the end, so Prabhupada explains about yoga. And again, we have the scriptures that Kritaye Dhyayata Vishnu, that in the Satya Yoga, Dhyana of Vishnu was the highest form of yoga. Dwapare Tritayam Ejato Makhai. In Trita Yoga, it was performing fire sacrifices. That was the yoga. And then Dwapare Paricharyayam. In Dwapare Yoga, doing deity worship was the form of yoga. And Kalotad Hari Kirtanat. In Kali Yoga, it is Hari Kirtan. So that is the most form of yoga. So Prabhupada says here that Shukracharya was a yogi, but we also know how he was trying to avoid or instead Bali Maharaj against running into Krishna when he came up from the Vamanadeva. So Shukracharya has a history of not doing the right things. First we find him advising Bali Maharaj in the wrong way, and now he is actually doing this to Maharaj Ayati. So we see how Shukracharya, even though he was a mystic, he was a yogi, but he was a mystic yogi, he was not a bhakti yogi. And in Kali Yuga, the highest form of yoga is chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by following this principle of chanting in Kali Yuga, we can actually reach the highest yoga, the perfection of yoga. And Srila Prabhupada states in the book, The Topmost Yoga System, or The Perfection of Yoga, as from the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Madhagatirantar Atmana, that somebody who is worshipping Krishna has devotional service towards Krishna. And the best way to engage in service is actually to go for book distribution. So that is the best form of service we can do for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in this month. Also today is Moksha Ekadashi, which is the advent of Bhagavad Gita. So briefly, the last few minutes speak on the Bhagavad Gita, this topic, that Krishna spoke this science of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in Kurukshetra, and he didn't prepare, it was spontaneous. And in 40 minutes, we heard that the whole Gita was spoken. And there was one actually Christian preacher who had come to India. He was new to Krishna consciousness, no background of Krishna consciousness, but he read the Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada, and his final conclusion was that this is a book, he gave a name as River of Compassion. So even though Gita may seem, you know, very difficult philosophy, very, very complicated, you know, Atma, Paramatma, you know, Prakriti, Karma and Kala, so many concepts. But the gist of it is that he found it, even though he was not a devotee. River of compassion, where we find Krishna's compassion to Arjuna and to all the conditioned souls. In fact, Krishna, in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna's one of the qualities is pleasing talker. And we find here how Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and those words of the Lord are changing people's lives and causing a revolution in people's life for millions of years, and they will continue to do so. So this way we find that this Bhagavad Gita is actually Krishna's compassion for all of us, and if we take it in that mood, it can actually work wonders in our lives, and we can help not only ourselves but also the community around us. Let's stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any time for questions or any comments? Yantra Shrut Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you. Hare Krishna. It's your kartas, right? I'll give it to you. Either of them.